Good morning and welcome to worship. Today is one of our open air days. And I was going to invite you to join with us at 12:05 on the triangle, but I'm still hoping. So at the end of the benediction, I'll send the captain out and he'll come back and tell us if it's raining or not. So we'll make a final decision then. Hopefully we'll still be able to go. Now this part of my announcements, I want your undivided attention. Have I got it?
Yes.
Right. I want it because there'll be no tea and coffee following the meeting. We're changing the system after 55 years. There's no tea and coffee. The reason for this is the community hall is being prepared for the 12:30 lunch. If you're attending that, please just sit around, chat around the hall and until it's ready to call you through for your lunch. It's half term, so the only activities here in the hall this week are the band and songster rehearsals, the food bank on Monday, Wednesday and Friday. And I think there's still time for you to sign up for the Walk Through the Bible event next Saturday. There's no coffee morning on Thursday, but at 10:30 at the crematorium will be a service for Dennis Versey. Then on Tuesday the 27th, there'll be a funeral service in this hall for Tricia Binge, and this will take place at 2 o'clock. Finally, on a different note, the advisory team's latest minutes are on the notice board for you to have a look and read. And also, as you leave, your self-denial envelope is on the table and your name will be on it. Please take it with you. It's a lot to remember, isn't it? But if you don't understand anything, just ask me afterwards. Thank you. Well, it's for me now to introduce Lieutenant and Colonel, I don't know you, Gough and Die. Yeah, it was always Gough and Die. So, would you please welcome our guest for the day, Gough and Die.
Thank you, John. Thank you to Felix Stowe-Corr for your very warm welcome. It's hard to understand and believe that it was nearly 20 years ago that we left here to return to Africa for another batch of service there. We were in Africa for another 10 years before we returned to this country and then into a sort of semi-retirement, really. So we're still working in some respects. But anyway... We might be able to share a bit of that later on. Of course, we are sorry, and we've heard the news from folks here about Dennis and Trish, and it's always sad, isn't it, to lose those that we've come to respect and love over the years. But we also have hope, of course, that they have moved to a better place in heaven. Reserved for them, prepared for them by Jesus Christ. I read some words this morning which were particularly helpful, and these are them. God invites us into a relationship where our sins are exchanged for Christ's righteousness, allowing us to stand blameless before God. What amazing love, isn't it? What work God has done in Jesus Christ. And we come before him now and worship him, to give him thanks, to offer him our praise, and to just enjoy being in his presence in this place. The first song this morning is Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. And this song has, I think, the best line of all of the songs in our songbook, and it's the third line on the screen. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Hallelujah! Yes, of course. Because that's what we are. When we come to Christ, when we belong to him, that's exactly what we are. Ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. Let's stand together to sing.
Well, having sung such a wonderful song, we're going to continue in our praise and adoration as we sing the prayer chorus, Such Love, Pure as the Whitest Snow. And as we sing this, I'd like everybody here to try to think of something that in this week has been a blessing to you, something good that's happened this week. So that you can bring to God a sense of gratitude for what he's done for all of us. Such love. What he did when he paid the price on the cross. Let's sing together. We have so much to be thankful for. Jesus, the love that you have for us is beyond our comprehension. Your willingness to take on human form, to live amongst us, your willingness to pay the sacrifice for our sins, to win our salvation. Such love. Lord, there is so much for us to be thankful for. You have been so good to us. We have had so many blessings in our lives. And this morning, as we meet together here, free to worship, no fear when we come together. My prayer is that we will, each of us, appreciate you, worship you, and be open to receive from you all that you have for each one of us, Lord. I pray your Holy Spirit will speak into our lives. I pray that we will be fired up by you once more again today, equipped to serve you in our daily lives. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your presence with each one of us. Thank you for the comfort that you give those who are grieving. We bless you and we worship you. Amen.
Now, I have a confession to make. When we left home yesterday, because of my advancing years, I forgot my black shoes. So I'm not just being rebellious, all right? So, but this time, of course, of the year, and the reason that we were invited to share with you today is because it is the time of self-denial. And you've already started on that journey, I know, from John's announcement. And one of the fond memories we have of being in Felixstowe was the generosity of the people here when it came to the self-denial appeal. I mean, I can't remember figures particularly, but I know it ran into the thousands that was raised on an annual basis through the self-denial appeal. And having been recipients of the result of that for various projects, some of which we will share a little bit later, it was just such a blessing to know that this corps had a heart for the poor and the marginalised in lots of other places around the world. And there's a verse that is being used, I believe, across the territory at the moment from Hebrews. Actually, it's a couple of verses. Through Jesus, it says, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. That's why we come together, isn't it, partly? The fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So, you know, the self-denial time is a time, perhaps, of sacrifice, of giving something up, or at least of giving something away, and more about that later. But we do it because of our love for God and for his presence in our lives. Well, we're going to watch a video now that is based in India, and it's part of the self-denial information sharing for this year.
Hello, and welcome to the third of our films for this year's self-denial appeal.
Coming to Captain Anthony Silver Road Villa, Kania, Kanupu Minghi, Captain Lalun Kimmy Silo, and the artist one. Papa kan nei vea joni ania
Captains Anthony and Markimi live and work in a remote part of Mizoram in eastern India at the Salvation Army's ARC or Adult Rehabilitation Centre. The ARC runs a drug and alcohol treatment program aimed at helping people who are struggling with addictions.
ichuan ke hian helai muna hian sprendinden in general administration te management te spiritual development te.
Markimi, Anthony's wife, looks after the finances, but she also gives pastoral support to staff members.
ARC hianin he ti tur hi tam ve em em ya ma sengin thei topin helai muna kan helai mun ARC kanam chung hianin thei topin rongbona.
There are places for 20 men at the center, and they stay here for 4 months. During their time here, they get access to counseling and medical support. There's a full daily program which includes a series of lectures.
ARC hianin Salvation Army hianin na I ropui taka thoka I he mi ina e chungkua ina adu to lo I damdoi te anlo ti afanga
taksa che thung
ri lo hi sim mai anilawa pian tharna helai mun an chhasan nuwa po puitling taka chungkua andin ve theina tura I khang annun bul chansak akha anatho anibokani.
Anthony and Markimi live with their son on site.
Voi kan center program te nena kan lana kan enkol na ko ngate thiamna te fina te kan nei the nante alpai hena kan dile ame
in ithin na nge kovel puma Salvation Army rongbol na lautel ve theitura Salvation Army officer kan ni kalom em ema I helai ram nufual tak
everyone's recovery journey is different, so there's focused medical support throughout their time here. The staff nurse does a daily check on each of the residents.
Oh, hey, center ARC hi I kamu dan chuan taksa real route lao dam na munani ti kamu dan ni a helai muna rombol na po chumi su kipoi mo takani.
The men who come to the ARC are from towns and cities throughout Mizoram. Some are brought by family members or referred by medical clinics, but others are here because they were helped by the Salvation Army Street Ministry team. Hours drive north of the centre is the city of Aizawl, the state's capital. The Salvation Army has a strong presence here with 69 corps and over 17,000 Salvationists in the city. On Friday nights, the Salvation Army Street Ministry teams set up with curry and sweet tea.
People here have problems with substance abuse. They come to have some food with us, and we preach, we sing, we give pastoral and also psychological counseling to those in need.
Because the sale of alcohol is illegal in Mizoram, it's just as easy to get hold of heroin-based drugs, especially the locally named Number 4.
Number 4 is here.
Street mission the boy chi lo ke mat tha ka tlamai om se kathi to hi ka ringa ni e ela arc ko me mo e ka tharon tlangin a khoin ka sia chandam ka ning ka sia.
Some of the residents have nearly completed the rehab program. In a few days they will leave the center and head home.
Ya chung mi te ta na thok se tur e kan ni na hi nget takin a kapoma sujukan mathir berpo ani
qualification hetiyala mai an degree kanai chonglo social workate psychologist lamate engma degree kan nei lo kenglama hian mase pathian min ko na ni si ni apai mo bera ke ma ka ngai qualification pe mo per chu love ani mangai na ke ma om zong zong hian ka mangai ni ya der ni lovin pathian tanga chho mangai jok takin ka mangai ani.
Next week, we'll be going to Uruguay. I'm looking forward to seeing you then.
Well, that was, hopefully that was helpful. A little insight into a different culture in another part of the world. And I don't know whether you noticed, but the people of Eastern India have quite a bit of the sort of Tibetan type of almost Chinese look about them, don't they? That's very common in that part. Anyway, the songsters are now going to bring us their message, which is "With Wings as Eagles." Look forward. Well, if you needed some encouragement this morning, that was it, wasn't it? I wanted a clap too. Yeah, if you've been in Sheffield, you would have done.
Yes.
That was excellent. Thank you very much. Okay, we wanted to show you just a little bit. When we left here in 2004, many of you know that we left for Uganda, and we left to be the regional leaders there, and Uganda became a command, so we became officers commanding, and then fairly soon after we left, it became a territory, so it is now a territory in its own right, and it has grown incredibly. We then moved on to Malawi, and a similar thing happened there. That's now a territory. And then lastly, we moved to Nigeria. So we just wanted to give you a little bit of a flavour, in actual fact, of some of the situations. This is quite short, really. But there are some slides coming up, and I will talk you through. And then we'll have a little bit of a YP slot, a little bit of a quiz. Not really, but you'll see what I mean. Okay, let's have the slide supporting officers. So one of the things that we liked to do, if we could, was to stay with officers when we went to visit them. That's what we always used to do when we had been in Africa earlier. But things had changed a little bit over the years, and when we went back, there was clearly an expectation that we should stay in a local hotel. And we said, no, we don't want to do that. We don't want to waste the army's money, for one thing. And secondly, it's good to be able to meet with officers to see where they live. Well, this is a house that we stayed in. It was the officer's house. It contained one bedroom and a living room and a little bit of a store. There was no kitchen. There was no bathroom. And when we stayed there, we realized that we had actually turfed the officers out of their bedroom. So one of the things that we said straight away was that we really need to get these officers a new quarters. So the next slide, please. So this was the roof was taken off. The walls were still pretty solid. We sort of almost quadrupled it in size by adding an extension going both ways. And there's the new one. And we even had the pleasure of going to open it, cutting the ribbon. And then after that, there was a cake to share as well. And Di was able to help the officer to cut the cake. It was a great celebration, but it came out of understanding the needs. Then we went, let's go to Nigeria. Now, this, I guess most of you, I would imagine all of you, have an armchair, a sofa,
a table.
Yeah. This is an officer's front room, their sitting room. And the chairs are brought in from the hall, and they're taken back to the hall on the Sunday. No furniture. This was a bit of a wake-up call to us as well. And the next one, please. And some of the kitchen areas, the cooking areas, leave an awful lot to be desired. There's no running water. Sometimes there's no electricity. But still they will cook the most delicious meals. And we've even seen officers, their quarters are literally the vestry, the back of the hall. Nowhere, no quarters provided for them, really. And on this occasion, it's really a corridor. Okay, then let's move to Malawi quickly. We went, this is a lovely story, because we went to visit a captain and his wife at a place that we'd been to before when we lived in Malawi. And we'd sort of said to him, well, what have you been doing this week? And he said, well, I've been to Kela to visit an outpost. We didn't even know there was an outpost. And we were the officers commanding. We ought to have known, you see. So we sort of said, okay, that's interesting. Where is this? Oh, it's far. That's the usual sort of expression often in Africa, it's far. So we sort of said, how far? Well, how do you get there, so we said, because they won't tell you in miles. I go by bike. I said, okay, how long...
Bicycle,
yeah, bicycle, not a motorbike. How long does it take you to get there? 8 hours. 8 hours! So we sort of said, well, okay, next weekend we'll come and visit this place. We'd love to see where it is. Will you come with us? So he did, and it was 100 kilometres
by road
from where this guy was. Now, he took us a kind of a shortcut, but it was all over rough roads, over the mountains and stuff, to get there. So I'm not sure that he saved much energy than travelling 100 kilometres. But when we got there, this was the church. This was the core hall. It was just made of mud and sticks and with a grass roof. We held a meeting there. We were inside there. The sun was blazing down, but it didn't matter. There was such joy amongst the people. But they had already started building their new hall.
Did you say how it started?
No, I didn't. I didn't say how it started. It started because a Corps Sergeant Major, a farmer who had come from another part of the country because they couldn't afford to buy land where he was, came to this area, which was poorer, but land was cheaper, bought a plot of land, set up a small farming homestead, and then decided he ought to start the army. So he did, all by himself. with God, of course. It became a thriving outpost. It's now a core. And when we visited, it was like that. We had your sister, your brother and sister-in-law with us at the time. They'd come out on a holiday. And they said, well, we'll do something to help. And they provided some money, and we were able to put on a roof. So you can see the roof behind the old church, and I think the last picture is of the new hall. How about that? And then we were able to appoint officers from the training college, newly commissioned officers, to sort of officially start the work at Keller Corps.
But what you didn't say was, we went back to open this church.
Oh, we did, that's right.
And they said, we've started two new outposts.
Over there. Yeah, it's far. it was just an exciting place to serve. And it didn't really matter which territory in Africa. It's a massively growing army. Nearly half of all soldiers in the Salvation Army live in Africa. That's quite something, isn't it? Mm. So I've got something that I wanted to show you. What do you think these might be? These come from Kenya, and they are particularly from a tribe called the Turkana. You're coming, good. I'm very glad to see you're coming. Anyone else want to see what these are?
Come from one piece of truth, which is a quite amazing. What else? you have to say that the people of Kanan, the men of Kanan, they had fancy hairstyles, and so they would use these so they didn't upset their fancy hairstyles. It was the men who had fancy hairstyles, not the women.
And they would colour their hair as well. So sometimes it would be blue, it might be orange. And you know, African hair is very tightly curled. So they would. And then if they had bushy hair, they would make a hole in the top and they'd stick a feather in as well. Ooh, how about that? Now, any idea what this is? It is a walking stick, right. Do you think it could be anything else? What? The worship band are going to bring us a song.
And the offering. As the offering's being taken.
And the offering.
Shall we stand? Feel free to move as well. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the sons and daughters of God. His beloved creation, that is who we are. His Spirit is coming to our lives and filled our hearts. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that Jesus should come and pay with his life at the cross. His redeemed creation, that is who we are. His Spirit is coming to our lives and filled our hearts. The rescues us. How great his love, restoring us. How great his love, it's moving through our hearts to change the world. How great his love, his boundless love. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that cold hearts can melt with mercy for all who are lost. His transformed creation, that is who we are. His Spirit is coming to our lives, filled our hearts. How great His love, the rescues us. How great His love, restoring us. How great His love, it's moving through our hearts to change the world. How great His love, His love. How great His love, His moving us. How great His love, restoring us. How great His love, it's moving through our hearts to change the world. How great His love, His boundless love. His boundless love. His boundless love.
Does someone pray for the offering? Or, well, let's do so, shall we? Father, we thank You for all Your goodness to us. We've just sung about Your boundless love, Your love that restores, Your love that heals, Your love that forgives. And Lord, we recognize that we live in a needy world. We are living in a needy generation. But Lord, we thank You for all that we have that we can give away. Thank You, Lord, that You provide for us so that we can support Your work, Your church in this place. So Lord, we ask Your blessing upon those who have given and upon the gifts they have given. Amen. Neil, I believe you have a Bible reading for us. I always like to see Neil. I have some wonderful memories of Neil's leadership of the Songsters, because there were times, I don't know if you remember this, but I certainly do, when I just felt that his choice was led by the Holy Spirit, and it just seemed to sometimes gel so well with the meeting. It was great. Thank you. And we still sing in our Songsters. I don't, but the Songsters do, some of your songs. So there's always that connection. God bless you.
So the Bible reading is taken from Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 30. And it's entitled, in the New International Version which we're using, The Church in Antioch. Now, you probably think you don't know where Antioch is, but actually, we've all heard of Antioch. It's Antakya. It's where the earthquake was a year ago on the Turkish-Syria border. So Antakya is Antioch. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed and travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw what the grace of God had done, and he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit preached that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. And this happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Amen. Thank you.
Well, we've been delighted and blessed by the songsters this morning, and now I'm sure the same will be said of the piece from the band. I look forward to hearing it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Band. That was very moving. Well, 20 years ago we left here, nearly. 2004. Just for those who remember us, our four children. Duncan has three children. Rebecca has two babies, aged 2 and 1 year. And Emma has two babies, aged 2 and 4 months. So we're a growing family still. But it's good to be back, and it's good to see so many familiar faces here. And of course, there's Ruth. I shouldn't forget our daughter Ruth. Sadly, her marriage has ended, which was very sad for us. But yeah, she's still worshipping the Lord, which is the main thing. Well, you see here some of the what we call wrappers that we have received during our journey in Africa. As Gough said, we served 21 years in Africa, Kenya, Malawi, Uganda, and Nigeria. And you know, even though it's 10 years since we came back from Africa, it's still there inside. And a couple of weeks ago, we met up with some retired officers, commissioners, Swansbury, and they also served in Africa. And so we're sitting and we're reminiscing together and we're talking about the good times and we're talking about the challenges. We'd never served in the same countries, but the similarities of our experiences was what joined us. The resilience, the joyfulness, the resourcefulness, the generosity of those people that we encountered, even though they had so little. It really impacts a person. And actually, living in Africa has, for us, brought our Bibles more to life. Because for many that we met in our rural communities, there wasn't a lot of difference between the way they lived and the way that folks lived in Bible times. It's a transformational experience, whether you live there for a long time or even if you visit for a short time. Would you not agree, David and Linda? Yeah? I don't know if Lisa's here. I know she, but it is. It changes you. When we were in Malawi, we had three groups of youths came to visit us, one from America and two with the ALOVE teams from the UK. And such was the impact on the lives of those young people that out of each of those groups, when people went back to their home countries, to their home situations, some of them offered for officership and are still serving the Lord in officership now. And then also while we were in Malawi, the territorial commander of the time felt that all divisional leaders should have the opportunity to visit a developing country. So we received two parties of divisional leaders. Amongst them was our recently retired commissioners, Cottrell, when they were divisional leaders. And sometime later when we came back to the UK and we met up with them, Anthony said to us that short time, just 2 weeks, that he was in Malawi, was an experience that changed him, and he's never forgotten it. Malawi is one of the poorest countries in Africa, and one of the amazing qualities of that place was the way that a whole village in a rural area would support a family at either times of crisis or times of celebration. So whether it was a wedding or a funeral, then everybody would contribute something. And everybody would turn up for the feast as well. So they'd turn up for the wedding. They'd also turn up for the funeral. It was a community experience. They were living a hand-to-mouth existence. But still, they found enough to contribute to make sure that the family in need, whether to celebrate or to honour their dead, that they had enough. And they knew also that when it came to their time for support, they would receive it. The generosity of folks was difficult for us at times. We knew they had so little. But because we were visitors and they were grateful for our visit, they wanted to give us gifts. It was the culture. It could be maize from the gardens, or bananas, or mangoes from their trees, or a chicken, or even a goat. And that really was a sacrifice because they didn't eat meat very often. One occasion, we'd travelled miles on a bumpy road, and we were really out in the sticks, such that the, in inverted commas, hotel that we stayed at didn't even have electricity. We had a driver, and when he came and picked us up from our hotel to take us back, he said, "Oh, we have some gifts." And we had a little RAV4. Do you know RAV4s? Yeah, little 4x4s. In the boot of this vehicle, this little RAV4, there was a goat and a chicken. And we travelled for about, 3 hours? More, with a goat and a chicken in the boot, underneath the shelf, closed in the boot of this vehicle. The generosity was amazing. We couldn't say no, because if you said no, they would think that you thought the gift was not good enough, that you didn't appreciate it. And so we accepted their gifts. It's a humbling experience, and it certainly shifts thinking on gratitude and on what poverty really is. Today, our Bible reading gave us small insight into the church in Antioch. This was a mainly Gentile church, which, as we heard in the reading, had been planted as a result of Jews fleeing from persecution in Jerusalem. Now, this is the first incredible thing, that in this church in Antioch, you had Jews and Gentiles worshipping the Lord together, because Jews would not normally associate with Gentiles. So that was the first incredible thing. But the other incredible thing was the gratitude that these Gentiles had for the gift of salvation, which had come because of the Jews fleeing persecution who had shared the good news with them. They had received good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they were really grateful. You know, it's so good to live with an attitude of gratitude, isn't it? Yeah? To thank God for the good things. Our media is full of how tough times are at this time. Forget about the world. Just in our country, they're telling us about the cost of living and the struggles that people are having financially and so on. But even in that situation, even though maybe some people here are struggling financially, we have so much to be grateful for. In our society, we have the NHS, we have school, free school education, we have the welfare state. There is so much to be thankful for, not forgetting, of course, that we are children of God. We are heirs of the King. You know, there's a Salvation Army song, an old one, isn't there, about us being, "I'm the child of a king. With Jesus my Saviour, I'm the child of a king." Isn't that something to rejoice about? Yeah? The gift of salvation that we have in him. We, all of us, are children of God, heirs of the King. We are secure in him. Hallelujah. Anyway, back to our Bible reading, because this young church in Antioch, it was growing in numbers and in faith. And then the prophets came down, and the prophet Agabus told them that there was going to be a famine, a widespread famine. Now, this famine wasn't only going to affect Jerusalem, it was also going to affect these people in Antioch. They would also find times hard. Food prices would rise as resources became more limited. There was no welfare state, no food banks, no NHS. Life would get tougher for them too. But how did they react? Out of gratitude for the good news of Jesus that they had received from that church in Jerusalem, they wanted to give something back. And so verse 29 told us that the disciples determined that according to their ability, each would send relief for the believers living in Judea. And this they did. Actions as well as words. Practical gratitude. Not just a sacrifice of praise, prayers, thankfulness, worship, but a financial sacrifice as well. A few weeks ago, we were listening to the vicar in our local church who was talking about giving to God. His message was coming out of the Old Testament book of Haggai. Now, Haggai was challenging the Jews who'd returned from exile back to Jerusalem because they'd put the foundation down of the temple and then they'd got stopped. And so then they forgot all about that and they built their own houses and they were living in panelled houses whilst nothing was being done about the centre of their worship, the temple. That was the focus of their spiritual life, and it was still in ruins. And so Haggai challenged them on their priorities. And the vicar went on to point out how this might apply within the church by the way that people both tithed and the way that people contributed their service. Because in Jerusalem, the result of Haggai's prophecy was that people went up into the mountains and actually cut down the wood to come down to practically build the temple again. And he went on to say something that was quite a challenge. He said that Billy Graham, who saw so many people come forward at his rallies to accept Christ, said that the last thing in a Christian to get converted was his wallet. Ouch. We've entered the season of Lent, a time of contemplation for all Christians as we prepare ourselves for Easter, the agony and the miracle, the crucifixion and the resurrection. In many Christian traditions, people give something up for Lent. When I was at junior school, we had this chain smoker teacher. And every Lent, she gave up cigarettes. But as soon as Lent was over, she took them up again. And I thought, well, what's that about? Nothing's changed here. Surely, Lent should be a time of refocusing and changing, focusing on God, introspection. The first video of this series, if you remember, the introductory video, was talking about the way that as members of the Salvation Army, we're encouraged to think about maybe giving something up, sacrificing something during this month to enable us to give in gratitude to God for all that we have or that we've received. Both because of that and in appreciation that there are so many who have so much less than we do. And one of the suggestions in that video was the idea of AUSOMS, introduced from Australia a few years ago, 1 week's salary on missionary service. We're thinking of our self-denial appeal. Whatever we decide to contribute, we're being asked to give according to our ability, just as those first disciples did, we read in verse 29. Going back to our time in Africa, we can tell you of Salvationists who chose to go without some food to save the money to give at the altar service. Or people who were too poor to bring money, so they would bring what they had. Eggs from their chickens, maize from their gardens, tomatoes or onions that they'd grown in their subsistence farms. And they brought it with joy. A lot of dancing and singing in the church. Isn't that right? There is a lot, you know, I mean, I'd still jiggle now. All these years later, I still can't stand still. A lot of dancing and singing. Actually, I tell you, we never experienced quite so much dancing and singing until we went to Nigeria. And there they would have offering after offering, and every time they had an offering, you had to dance and sing out, and you put your offering in. There's so much rejoicing. There's so much joy amongst these people who have so little. So this morning, how grateful are we to our Father God for all his provisions, to our Saviour Jesus Christ for his gift of salvation, his free gift of forgiveness, his welcome into his adopted family as brothers and sisters, heirs to God's kingdom, to God's Holy Spirit who imparts wisdom, power, gifts, who guides, who challenges, who transforms our lives from the inside out. Let every one of us this morning consider our many blessings. That brings to mind another song. There's quite a few of you who remember Olive Bevington, isn't there? Yeah? Well, toddler group. After toddler group, you know, it's a hectic morning and you're picking the toys up and cramming in the cupboard. It was out there. I don't know if it's still out there. You had to fit all the toys back into that cupboard and then you were vacuuming. It was not my most favourite job in this corps, I assure you. And so most weeks I'd start singing, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, count your blessings, name them one. So she would always laugh at me for singing that. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. An attitude of gratitude. This morning, let's acknowledge how blessed we are. We're going to sing the song, all I once held dear, built my life upon. All this world reveres and wars his own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now, compared to this, knowing you, Jesus. That's the most important thing that we have. And what I would ask is that if these words don't apply to you, then today surely is the time to put it right. The mercy seat is here, available for prayer. don't leave without putting your heart right with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's see through. Make this your personal prayer. Knowing you, Jesus, it is the greatest thing. You're my all. You're my best. Let's sing it together. Knowing you, Jesus, I pray that that's true for everybody here, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit will fill each person in this room, will equip each person in this room to be the person you want them to be. I pray that each one of us will experience the joy of the knowledge that we are your children. We are secure in you, brothers and sisters in the family of God. And I pray that each one of us will spill out that attitude of gratitude as we live our lives in work, at home, whatever we're doing, Lord. May we know you more and more. May we shine for you more and more. Lord, I pray that more people will be attracted to this hall, come to know you as they witness you shining in each of these people here. Thank you, Lord, because you are a faithful God. We can trust you absolutely. You know us intimately. You love us completely. and you will be with us always. We praise you and thank you. Amen. Stay standing, please, because we're going to send you out by singing that wonderful song, I'll Go in the Strength of the Lord. Yes? Absolutely. Let's stand together and sing. Maybe we can say the grace together. We'll all speak it out, yes? To each other. Look at each other and speak it out. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen and amen.